We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
And good Monday morning to each and every one of you as we roll into hour number two on the big show. Shane and Bruce, Chad Chambers producing as we get into a little bit more college football. The NFL finishing up the week tonight. What do we have? The Patriots and the Jets tonight.
Yeah. Mm,
it's a lot of fun. Looking forward to that.
Good job, AFC West, by the way.
Yes.
Way to go.
Yeah, way to go.
Chiefs had to play almost the whole game without the Hall of Famer, and yet they won anyway, and all the rest of those bums lost.
Which changes the And we talked about this last week. The complexion of the Chiefs' season changes with a win. Now, it's changed in other ways because of the injury to Mahomes, but be that as it may, the AFC West is just kind of falling off the bone, and the Chiefs are right back where they need to be from a competitive standpoint. Now we'll see if they can win with Matt Moore for maybe a couple of weeks and then get Patrick Mahomes back and healthy. We'll have to see.
Yep.
We'll have to see. Okay, Shane, so right. the voters have had it with Clemson, at least to this point.
Yeah.
Ohio State has moved ahead of Clemson now. Trevor Lawrence has lost the shine off of, or the bloom off of the rose a little bit, as people wonder about where he is from a standpoint of consistency. For the second straight week, we had a CFP hopeful fall by the wayside, and Tua looks like he's going to be gone for a couple of weeks with a high ankle sprain. I think I've got the headlines from college football there.
Pretty much it. Alabama mm-hmm. won 35-13. Tua left the game with a high ankle sprain. I understand he's already had surgery on it, so that didn't take long. He had the same injury to his other foot last year, and he was only out – I forget exactly how long he was out, but as high ankle sprain goes, virtually no time at all. Nick Saban seems to think it'll only be a week or two. They get Arkansas next. They should be fine there. But then LSU is after that. So we'll see if he's ready for that. Arkansas has lost 15 straight conference games. Alabama's
they're
won
awful.
30 consecutive games at home. Yeah, they are. And it's kind of puzzling how they're that bad. But
yeah.
Meanwhile, Nick Saban improved to 19-0 against his former assistants. Jeremy Pruitt was an assistant under Saban from 2007 to 2012. Tennessee's not that good either, by the way.
No, they're not.
Let's see. What else happened? Michigan fell short in their comeback against number 7 Penn State. 28-21 was the final there. It looked like it was going to be about 45-0 the way that thing started. But Michigan did show some life, but they lost, and they've now lost 12 straight road games against top 10 teams. Their last win was against Notre Dame in 2006 in such a matchup. And their next game is against Notre Dame.
Yeah, Michigan has a chance to be one of the kind of major disappointments in this football season, don't they?
Yep.
I mean, they still have Notre Dame and Ohio State left to play.
Speaking of, waiting on Wisconsin is Ohio State, and Illinois shocked the world on Saturday. They were 30.5-point underdogs, according to Caesars, and they won. They kick a field goal at the gun to beat Wisconsin 24-23. Wisconsin had given up something like 29 points all year, and the Illini got 24. And that was the second biggest upset in a Big Ten game over the last 40 years.
What in the world was Wisconsin doing throwing the ball with 2 minutes and 20 seconds left on a 3rd and 5? Granted, a 3rd and 5. You've got a 5,000-yard
career
rusher. I was going to
say, 3rd and 5 is 3rd and short for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, no kidding. You've got Jonathan Taylor in your backfield. If not, you're punting the ball away, and you're making Illinois go 2/3 of the length of the field to get a chance to win the game with a kick. Instead, it gets picked off, and the whole thing becomes this mess. And you know what? You deserve what you get. You can't take care of your business as a 30-point favorite, and you're making decisions like that down the stretch. Well, what do you know? That's what you're going to get sometimes.
Wisconsin had not trailed all season prior to that game-winning field goal.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin takes on Ohio State next Saturday.
Have a nice day.
Yeah. Good luck with that. The only bigger upset in the Big Ten occurred in 1982. Northwestern beat Minnesota as 32-point underdogs. Northwestern was coached by Dennis Green.
Mm. Wow.
So shame on Illinois, or shame on Wisconsin. Good for Illinois. It was kind of an uninspired effort by Wisconsin, and their reward is to get their butts beat and play Ohio State next week. Speaking of Trevor Lawrence, Bruce told you that the bloom's off that rose a little bit, although he had a bounce back, and as did Clemson. They beat Louisville 45-10. Clemson's win streak is extended to 22 games, but to Bruce's point, in one of the polls, Clemson is fourth, even though they have a 22-game winning streak. Lawrence did throw 2 more interceptions. He's got 8 this season. That doubled his output from 2018. And can you remember how ridiculous we were talking about Trevor Lawrence back in the day, where we thought maybe half of the NFL teams in their current state at the time would like to have Trevor Lawrence as their quarterback on that day?
Yeah, well, on that day, I don't think we were wrong. I think we would be wrong now. You know, I mean, he's not, I'd say 20. Right now, he's probably, I'd say he's, if he were to come out, well, I don't know. There's a lot of body type potential arm strength that might have him as a first round pick.
Well, Sam Darnold turned it over like it was going out of style at USC the year that he was drafted in the first round, too.
Right.
So. There are certain things you can overlook or work around,
but I think he'd be probably the number 4 guy in the draft now. I mean, if you think Tua and Herbert and Fromm are probably all ahead of him, I would guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't break down film of all of them, but I've seen them all play.
Well, how about this guy, Joe Burrow? He threw 4 more touchdowns.
He's a good one, too.
Yep, they beat LSU beat Mississippi State 36-13. Burrow's got 29 on the season, and he passes Matt Mock and Jamarcus Russell for the most in a season in LSU history.
Mm.
Jalen Hurts.
Well, if you're passing Matty Mock.
Oh, right.
I mean, you
You don't just stroll into a program and pass up Matt Mock.
No, you don't.
Jalen Hurts had his 3rd game this season with multiple passing touchdowns and rushing touchdowns. Oklahoma destroyed West Virginia. The Sooner Schooner tipped upside down. Everybody's okay, though. How do they allow that thing to keep coming out on the field?
Well, it's a great tradition, but I've often wondered why it doesn't tip over more.
That's not the first time it's tipped over, correct?
No,
not at
all.
That's what I thought.
You can't cut it too closely. Now, I think the field was a little wet too. I don't know.
Another reason why you don't need that wagon going out on the field with those horses. And there's a bunch of people on that schooner too, by the way.
Yes, I mean, did you see the debris all over the field when the thing went down? My God, it took shovels to clean it up.
I'm
just glad that there were no injuries to
they got
people
lucky.
or to animals.
They got lucky. Yep,
that's great. That's great.
Your Oregon Ducks trailed by 14, but rallied to win over Washington 35-31. It was the first time the Ducks had come back from 14 points or more in 9 years. And our guy, Adam Rittenberg from ESPN.com, is making a case, if they run the table and beat Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, that Oregon should be in the Final Four.
Well,
there's a lot of football to be played, but
yeah,
that would
gotta
be,
win
that,
every.
That will be something to watch if they run the table and don't get in.
I think Oregon is really good, and even though they played in kind of fits and starts, Washington's good, and it's a very difficult place to play.
Mm-hmm. That was an impressive
weather.
Win.
It was an impressive
that was
win,
impressive.
The way that they won it.
Yep.
I thought. I mean, you know. And I really like Justin Herbert. I think he's a I think he's an NFL-ready kind of guy.
Looks the part, doesn't he?
I really do.
Big,
oh, man.
Big, strong dude.
Part.
Yep.
Big, strong dude. He's got presence. Can make all the throws. Can throw it sideline to sideline. He's got great verticality and throws it down the field. Has confidence. Can throw it into tight spots. They got a couple guys. Their left tackle is really good. The corner got knocked out of the game, but they've got 3 first-round draft picks on that football team. Big-time players.
Didn't they have a really good
big-time
tight end
players.
Prospect, but he got hurt too,
mm-hmm.
maybe within the last
yes.
week?
Yes.
All right. Elsewhere, and kind of shifting back to the Big 12, Baylor 7-0 this season after they started 0-8. In 2017, according to Elias, Baylor is the third team since NCAA classification began, and that was 82 years ago, the third team to start 7-0 within 2 seasons of starting 0-7 or worse. Most recently, UCF did it.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you closer to believing in the record? Or closer to waiting for the shoe to drop? Which one?
I'm closer to believing the record. I like Charlie
Well,
Brewer.
only because they're playing in the Big 12.
Not necessarily. I won't. No.
Yeah, they got a couple of games. I mean, they could go 10-2. It wouldn't be out of the realm. They could go 10-2 in this league, and really, I mean, it would be a gaudy record. But how much would they have accomplished in this league?
Well, depends on what they do against Oklahoma, I suppose.
Well, I suppose.
They could be 9-0 ahead of that November 16th game in Waco against OU. OU and Texas back-to-back, 16th and 23rd. Both of them at home. I like me some Baylor. I'm buying.
Okay.
How about SMU? They are 7-0 for the first time since the Pony Express, 1982. Mm. They beat Temple 45-41.
Good story, isn't it?
Very good story. Shane Buechele, speaking of Texas, the transfer from Texas, he went to SMU when it was clear that Sam Ehlinger, was Texas's guy, threw for 6 touchdowns against Temple, tied for the most in program history. So SMU is 7-0. Minnesota is 7-0. They are 7-0 for the first time since 1960. They beat the State University of New Jersey, Rutgers. The highlight of that game came when a 4-time cancer survivor on their team named Casey O'Brien
awesome.
Made his collegiate debut. He held the snap on an extra point. Fantastic story. And great to see him run over afterwards and hug P.J. Fleck. Very, very, very cool story. 4-time cancer survivor, Casey O'Brien. And finally, Appalachian State came the first Sun Belt team to win a game while ranked inside the top 25. They had an easy time with Louisiana Monroe, 52-7. App State.
Shane, are they going to be the Group of Five team?
I would die laughing if they are. I hope they are.
Well, I mean, who at this point is the leading camp? Boise State just lost.
SMU.
Appalachian State. I'm telling you right now, Appalachian State has a chance. I'm not saying they're maybe the team to beat, but they got a chance.
I don't know if I'm not sure when SMU is going to lose, and they're ahead of them.
Right.
They're at Houston on Thursday, and obviously Houston's not quite what we thought, and certainly not what they were 4 weeks ago. Then they've got Memphis, although Memphis is pretty good. They go to Memphis. Maybe that's the game in the American right there, SMU at Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis is pretty decent.
Yeah, beyond that, ECU in Dallas. ECU's not very good. At Navy, I guess that could be problematic when you play a option team, but they'll have a week off to get ready for them. So I would say SMU, maybe leader in the clubhouse for the group of the New Year's Six Bowl possibly team, possibly. Appalachian State, I'm not going to pretend to know everything about the Sun Belt, but South Alabama's no good. They got them next. They do play South Carolina in 3 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be huge.
Wow,
right there.
I'd say so. They've already beaten North Carolina, a Power 5 team. They beat them 34-31 in Chapel Hill. But they got to go to Columbia in 3 weeks to play South Carolina. So that, I'm not.
They beat the Coastal Carolina team that beat Kansas on the road by 19.
They scored 50 or more points three times. I mean, they can they can score.
So,
but that'll be their Waterloo at South Carolina November 9th, App State.
Potentially.
Potentially, yep.
Potentially.
And did you see the new five overtime and later rule went into effect finally? Virginia 43, North Carolina 41. Yeah, once you get that late in overtime, you just run two-point conversion attempts. And Virginia won by scoring theirs and stopping North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah, once you get to five overtimes or later, well, six, you just run two-point conversions.
You know, that's okay.
That is okay. You've been out there a long time. And I know you only have 25 yards to go in overtime. And then the old rule was what? They made you go for two if you ever, you know, if you scored after a certain number of overtimes. But, yeah, you play that long, you don't need to be, you know, subjected to any more car wrecks than you've already been in for the first 70 minutes or whatever. So,
who's got the best overtime? Do you like college football's overtime? Do you like? I think I like college football better than the NFL. Baseball is extra innings, so that's just a continuation of the game. The NHL puts 3-on-3. That's a huge configuration change. But I kind of like it.
I don't know that putting the ball on the 25 is totally ideal for college football. You don't even have to move the ball to be able to kick a field goal.
You need to probably start at the 35, don't you?
I was thinking maybe 40. I mean,
40.
Make the teams get a first down or two, or at least one big chunk play. But
so you'd be kicking from 48, which is a 58. So you immediately start in the 58-yard range for a field goal if you start at the 40. That seems reasonable. You got to probably gain maybe two first downs to get a chip shot. I'm done with that.
Yeah. All right.
Boy, it seemed every year, though, we have one of these five overtime games in college football.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised it took this long.
Yeah, no kidding. All right.
All right, the Cowboys snapped a three-game losing streak last night. They destroyed the Eagles. And Aaron Rodgers did something that no other quarterback in the 99-year history of the Packers did. He did it yesterday against the Raiders, the AFC West, all crapped the bed and fell back in it after the Chiefs won on Thursday night. The rest of them lost, and the Chargers did it in amazing fashion, too. NFL talk when Bruce and I come back on a Monday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.